Welcome to episode 423. It's that time again. Time to get motivated to lose weight and bring sexy back. But how about we do things a little bit differently this time? If you want to actually lose the weight and, more importantly, keep it off long term so you don't have to repeat this process next year, then I have seven things here for you that you need to achieve what I call real weight loss, which is about far more than just losing body fat. So if you know you need to lose weight so you can avoid the same diseases your parents have, or because you want to be a good role model for your kids, or simply because you want to feel better in your own skin, then listen to this podcast right to the end, take the advice on board, and take action in joining with me to start your real weight loss journey. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
Hey, what's up, my healthy friends? Welcome back to another episode of the show. I'm very excited that you're here. We're going to be talking about all sorts of stuff today, but first and foremost, we're almost six. This is the sixth year that this podcast will be running. I'm very excited, and we're in that window of time where there's lots of possibilities and excitement, and it's probably the same for you. You're feeling inspired or ambitious about what can be possible in the next 12 months, and you're sort of getting ready to set up some intentions and some life directions, and I want to be able to do that for you today. But first of all, I want to start with our new mission statement. So as you know, this gets updated every 12 months so that I can attempt to effectively communicate what I'm trying to help you do, and if it resonates with you, invite you into my world and to be able to support you. So here it is. Are you ready? It's my mission to coach 500 people to achieve real weight loss. And by real, I mean more than just the fat. And we do it without counting calories, embarrassing weigh-ins, or a forbidden food list. So if that resonates with you, there are links down in the caption and the show note below. So scroll down, click the link, make an inquiry, book a call. If you're someone that's serious about entering this world and you're finally fed up with everything else that you've tried over the last 10, 20, 30 years, and you're really like, it's about time to make a change. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that idea today and this concept of real weight loss. So we asked all of our clients that have been through our main top-level program over the last 5 or 6 years, which is over 350 people now. Very proud to be able to say that. And looking forward to, in the future, serving many, many more. We've got a goal of hitting 10,000. How long that will take, I don't know, but I hope you're a part of it. But we wanted to talk to these people to understand their experience. And we don't do body shots, and we don't do calorie counting, and we don't do, you know, bikini photos on social media. Because a lot of people here, when weight loss is involved, they expect to see the images. And sometimes people even ask myself or my team, when they're in conversation with them about joining our program, you know, what are your results? Can I see pictures? And we don't do that, right? We don't do this before or after kind of experience, or this weight to this weight. And some people want to share that in their testimonials. And so we share the few people that do share that. But most of the people that come through and do this work, they want to work on the mindset, and they want to we want to transform people to have safe, healthy relationships with food. And helping people to stop stress eating and binge eating sugar, or stop the secret eating that goes on behind closed doors, you know, between the supermarket and your house, or that you've got hidden in your house and when no one's in that room, you quickly scoff down some food. And so one of the features that everyone was wanting, despite all of the mindset and emotional deep dives, you know, after we spoke to everybody, was weight loss. And even though not everyone joins our program with weight loss being the goal, and I'll explain that, you know, soon, still, one in two clients that have ever joined us achieved their weight loss goals, you know, and their sustainable weight loss goals. And in truth, at the start of an exciting 12-month period like right now, most people want weight loss because the holidays, you know, and Christmas and all of those big events and the year that was made us feel fat and made us feel gross. And over that time, we start to really become aware of our weight and our confidence issues and our embarrassment and our shame around our body, right? And we justify it with, oh, I'll start again soon, you know, in a couple of months or a couple of weeks or a couple of days, you know, I'll finally be able to get back to it. And in fact, most people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, they want real weight loss all year round, not just at New Year's, but they want it all of the time. And, you probably understand maybe even better than myself, that when you look back, can you actually remember a time that you didn't really want weight loss? And if that is the case, it might have been in your 20s or 30s or pre-kids or a time that was a really long time ago. You know, constantly wishing you could have your old body back or your much younger selves back, right? And we all want to tap into the person we used to be, and, you know, we need to develop healthy psychology to be okay with the fact that we've progressed and accept ourselves. But fundamentally, the version that people want back of their old self is the person that's a bit skinnier, that's lost a bit of weight. And I've personally been fighting against communicating about this because I have a belief that it's much deeper than how we look. You know, the way that we physically show up in the world, the issues that back that situation, that have created that situation, are much deeper about it. But the ironic thing is that when you look back at yourself when you were 40 or 30 or even 20, as much as you wish you were back there or you had that body shape or that body weight or that life situation, equally, a lot of the clients that we've spoken to report remembering that even at that age, they hated themselves or they felt they were fat. Even though now they're in a very different body and situation and they look back at that younger self and say, oh my God, I wish I loved her. Oh my God, I wish I supported him. Oh my God, I wish I had said nice things to myself because I was beautiful and young and I was in shape and I did look good. But at that time, I hated myself and I thought I was fat. And now, 20, 30 years later, we're still thinking and feeling the same things about ourselves, right? And so that tells me that we need to do deeper work. But fundamentally, the dream is still the same, which is that I want to really lose the weight. I really want to cut the weight off my body. And for most of us that have gone from looking, you know, skinny, thin and amazing and sexy and all of the things in our 20s, often the people that do come through our programs, not everyone, but like I said, a good portion of them, they want to lose weight. And in many of those cases, it will be of benefit to their health if they do lose weight, even though it's something I'm not super excited about focusing our attention on. But I want to talk to it because I can't pretend that that's not what everybody wants. Interestingly, though, even in some of the education programs and practitioner-only trainings that I've done to qualify me to be able to do what we do here, some of that education covering eating disorders, emotional eating, binge eating, sugar addiction, sugar cravings, gut rewiring, all of that kind of stuff, not all of them, but some of those certifications include training that tells us as practitioners to convince the client to ignore their weight, convince the client that weight loss is a bad thing. And I actually disagree with that because we would be in denial of something that would make our life healthier, better, more confident, all of those things. You know, and this underpins the reason that I put out this, you know, survey and communication to all of the clients that have ever done our programs before. Because the reality is that weight loss is a part of it. Whether you know that the work that you need to do is deeper and psychological and it's emotional transformation and it's emotional healing and that's going to take a lot of energy and work and courage and some tears, even though you know all of that, at the end of the day, most of the people still want a little bit or a lot of weight loss as a result of healing their relationship with food or their relationship with sugar or developing boundaries around food, right? And so that then begs the question, you know, what is real weight loss then? If I've achieved it 15 times before and I added weight plus some more, what do you mean by the word real? You know, you probably keep hearing me say, and you've probably seen on social media lately, I'm talking about this idea of real weight loss. And what I mean by real weight loss is that it goes beyond fat, right? Sure, we can all burn some body fat and there's 1,000 diets out there that can effectively do that. I have many colleagues that have done it effectively. We've done it effectively with, like I said, you know, 1 in 2 of our people achieve their weight loss goals and probably more than that actually get weight loss along the journey and change their body shape and feel and composition. But the difference is we don't really focus on it, right? The reason that thousands of diets can effectively do it and are out there and you've done them and you had the results and that they didn't last is, well, that's the thing that we like to help people with so that when you lose the weight, you can actually keep it off because you've changed the person you are that no longer lives a life that produces weight gain or fat gain, right? The yo-yo dieting is all a conversation around giving up on yourself or the diet being too restrictive or it not being sustainable and fitting into your life or not knowing how to navigate thoughts around, well, actually, tonight I do want a glass of wine or I do want to have some ice cream on this date or, you know, insert situation, right? if you've just got a diet and it doesn't tell you how to navigate feelings, boundaries, traumas, hardships, you know, all of that kind of stuff, then the second that a situation pops up that isn't in the prescribed diet, which, yes, effectively helps you lose weight, then once that pops up, you're derailed for a day, for a week, for a month, for 6 years, you know, who knows, right? So these diets that you end up yo-yoing in and out of, they work when they're hyper-focused on and they work in the presence of no challenging situations, right? Because they don't give you the tools to do all of the other stuff, which is the real life challenge of simply existing as a human being in the world in 2025 or whatever year you're listening to this. Whatever year you're listening to this, I can guarantee there are products and marketing and manipulative things going on levels you couldn't even imagine that dictate the way that you navigate your food environment, right? All of this is stuff that we help with on a deep level, which is why we have so much success when people go through our programs. They commit to the journey. They're willing to show up. They're willing to push themselves out of their comfort zone. They're willing to emotionally transform. This is why we see results, right? So getting more into that, you know, conversation around what is real weight loss. This is the way that I see it. You know, we've seen over more than 350 clients at this point. And so this is what I think real weight loss is about. Because on the outside, that's what people want. And on the inside, we've got to help people with what they really need, which is the deep work. Okay, real weight loss, 7 things. Number one is the obvious, nutrition. We want to lose, the weight we want to lose is our poor food decisions and our unhealthy food. It's not necessarily about cutting it out entirely, because 100% compliance to a diet usually tells me, especially if it's about weight loss and it's not a therapeutic situation like diabetes or cancer or anything like that, if we've got a 100% compliance, it's highly likely that person's going to have a big fall at some point. And by fall, I don't mean physically. I mean the idea that they will fall off the bandwagon of their diet and they will abandon it entirely, rather than just taking a slight step to the left with permission and coming back. So it's more about frequency, not, you know, perfect compliance. So poor food decisions and unhealthy food are in the absence of permission and understanding about how you're navigating your food situation. Because obviously, it's okay to have a chocolate here, have a chocolate there, have a bag of chips here, have an ice cream there, but it's the frequency that really does the damage, right? You know, I'd be lying to say that these foods aren't harmful, but it's the frequency that makes them devastating, right? And if our body is working correctly and surrounded by those choices are some healthy nutrition, then our body's going to do its normal detox processes to be able to remove these from the system. We're not going to be too affected by them, but we want to be in a place where we're able to navigate these situations, because especially if you've got kids, they pop up all of the time, right? And if you're a social person, they pop up all of the time. So you need to be able to be secure and stable and managed within yourself to be able to navigate all of these situations which repeatedly show up in our life. The skills, mindset, psychology, and healing that is necessary to navigate this on an ongoing long-term basis is extremely important. Thing number two, negative stories about yourself and your life. This is more of the weight that we need to lose, because this is not visible weight. This is energetic, emotional weight that we carry like a dark cloud that rains that nobody else can see, that sits over our head, or a huge backpack of pain and suffering and limitation that we've been carrying around for a long time. And because we've never been taught how to navigate our thoughts or our feelings before, we just add to it over and over and over again. And, you know, whoever has it worse, I don't know, men or women, arguably men, you know, men never talk about anything, generally speaking. Pretty much everybody I've worked with in the female space as well is the same. They've got all of this stuff they've never processed. And so they have all of these stories about themselves, right? This negative story that, you know, I'm fat, I'm a failure, I don't deserve good things, I'm not worthy of a healthy body, that, you know, 20 kilogram lighter version of me or 30 pound lighter version of me isn't good, is not allowed because I'm naughty, I'm bad, I'm a failure. And every little story that pops up that might have stemmed from childhood or a traumatic event that happened in your life or a relationship where somebody was narcissistic and emotionally devastating to you, or situations you haven't healed from or you don't know how to heal, you've never been taught about how to change these stories or change your internal wiring. Doing this is really important, because negative stories often contribute to negative behaviors. And what happens is that when we have negative stories pop up, we often fall into negative, unhelpful patterns like emotional eating, binge eating, sugar consumption on a very regular basis, fast food, can't be bothered cooking, you know, whether it be also watching porn or getting into gaming or watching way too much Netflix, right? Misery loves company. And so your negative stories about yourself and your life are very at home in the company of these things that also destroy your body and your mind and your life. Similar to point one about nutrition, is it's about frequency. It's okay to do some of those things some of the time, occasionally. But like I said, misery loves company. If the negative stories are perpetually leading to these negative experiences and choices that you're making on a very regular basis about food, about your health, then you need to do some work, because losing the weight or the burden, you know, of these stories is going to be so liberating, so freeing, you know. And in the survey that we put out to our clients previously, so many people talked about how they shifted from self-loathing to self-loving. And you might roll your eyes, but just think about it as self-respect. Imagine not talking shit to yourself all of the time, or hating yourself, or being ashamed of your body, right? It's fantastic. Who wouldn't want that, right? All right, number three is the belief that you're one diet away from your 21-year-old body. Now, this is I've put under the real weight loss idea, because the weight of this idea is like thinking leprechauns are real, because everybody thinks they're just one diet away, just one more diet, one more extreme thing, one more calorie counting, one more depriving thing. Get rid of the food, get rid of this, get rid of that. Only eat 800 calories on every 3 days, and every other day eat 1,200 calories. I've just got to do that. And the reason that it hasn't worked before is because I haven't suffered enough. I didn't do it long enough, right? You got to drop that weight, because it's a bullshit belief system. Fairies, leprechauns, you know, whatever you think isn't real, that we tell kids is real, Santa Claus. That's what's going on here. That's a story in your head. It's a weight that you need to cut, because it's giving you the illusion that progress and success is just around the corner. And it's not, because the truth is, and no, nobody likes the truth, do they? The truth is, it's around a couple of corners. And you need to put in time, work, and expect to fall over a few times, because you're not perfect, right? So it's around a few corners, not just around one, around a few, and you might go around the same block a couple of times. But as long as you're surrounded by the right support and guidance, every time you fall over or come to an intersection in your mind that you've been before, and you're like, oh, this is familiar. With the correct guidance, you can actually make decisions and make choices to get back up and do better, rather than going back to the old depressed, ashamed, embarrassed, disgraced version of yourself that just punishes yourself with the food and the porn and the Netflix and the alcohol and the cheese and all of that kind of stuff, which tastes good for the first few mouthfuls, but then a few mouthfuls later or a few hours later, you're kind of knackered for the next 3 to 7 days, because you've just wiped out your blood sugar, you've wiped out your brain function by doing all of this damage to your physical body. So we need to cut the weight of these limiting beliefs about diets being the answer, right? Or that you're just one diet away, or one deprivation period away from being your best self, right? Item number four on the real weight loss list is unnecessary stress. Cortisol is released when we have stress, and it mobilizes sugar rapidly. So it gets the sugar out of your liver and out of the places that it's stored in your body. Sometimes it's going to be out of your fat stores. But in this world where stress happens when we're in a desk chair, or stress happens while we're driving a car, or stress happens while we're sitting on the couch, all of that mobilized sugar, it doesn't get physically used, right? And so guess what? It just goes back into fat stores. And if you're stressed all of the time, and you've got this low level of stress because you got the kids going crazy, you're feeling like you're behind in your work, your relationship's not what you want it to be, you hate yourself and your body, then you're just churning out all of this cortisol. And guess what? When we mobilize sugar stores, not long after that, guess what happens? Hunger. Because when we're stressed, we're telling the body we need resources to be able to fight something that is threatening our survival. And so if we don't actually burn the sugar that's in the blood, or burn the sugar that we eat, where does it go? On our belly, on our thighs, on our butt, around our neck. All of the places that make us feel gross and ugly and slob-like, right? So can we eliminate stress entirely? No, that's why I called it unnecessary stress. And this comes down to how we think about ourselves and the world, how we rewire our brain. how we piece together our understanding of reality and we navigate space and time. Because if we know how to do it correctly, we know how to compartmentalize and localize and minimize appropriately the things that we can't control, that don't matter, the things that we've fictitiously made up in our mind, the things that we need to break up with, the things that we need to heal that no longer stress us out, right? So there's a lot going on there in order to be able to relieve ourselves of this excess cortisol and adrenaline. And I did an episode actually not too long ago on stress and the complexities of stress and how it leads to disease and an increased likelihood of early death. So I'd recommend listening to that episode, which is episode 419. So go and check that one out. Do you want to know how to lose weight without counting calories or needing to use restrictive diets? Turns out the answer is on Instagram. You might be interested to know that over 70% of our paying clients begin their journey with a weight loss goal. Most of them achieve this goal without fad diets and without calorie counting. And in the process, they also rewire their brains to stop craving sugar and they stop their secret binge eating sessions without the need to use loads of willpower. Why does what we do work? Because the fat that you want to lose, it isn't just about the calories you're consuming. It's actually wild how differently we do things. We work on your mind and your body gets better. And I think more people need to know about how we can do this for you too, which is exactly why I'm back on Instagram as The Real Weight Loss Coach. If you want to know how to really drop the weight that's been holding you down, how to keep it off, and to stay healthy long into the future, then follow me on Instagram. The link to my profile is in the show notes below, or you can search for me on Instagram by typing in The Real Weight Loss Coach. Give me a follow and I'll chat to you in the comments and the DMs over there. Okay, the next one, item 5 on the real weight loss list, is your relationship with sugar as a quick dopamine hit or soothing agent. So a lot of people use sugar as a soothing agent. Most people wouldn't admit to that because they don't really know. They just go on this cycle with food and fast food and, you know, buying stuff that makes them feel good or that tastes yummy. And they don't realize without sort of a bit of an analysis that they're actually emotionally eating. They're sad or procrastinating or bored or feeling disconnected or feeling like they're remembering too much. I know that was a story in my own emotional eating journey, is that I would go towards food when I felt like I was too much in my memories, which made me angry and sad and stuff like that. And I'd go to food as a distraction from that kind of stuff. So your relationship with sugar and food and snacks and lollies and candy as a quick dopamine hit or something to make you feel better, you need to break up with that. That's literally mental weight that you need to cut, that relationship with sugar as a soothing agent, but it's also contributing to the physical weight that you tell yourself or tell people that you want to lose, right? And so if we don't figure out that relationship with sugar as a dopamine hit or soothing agent first, then you're never going to be successful in achieving long-lasting weight loss, because every time you have a bad emotion or you need a dopamine hit because you're tired or stressed or the story's coming up or you just need something to soothe you after a hard day or you feel like you need a reward, guess what? Kale doesn't really do that for you very effectively. So we go towards these other things, these you know, dopamine triggering foods that contribute to our weight issues and our gut issues and our brain fog issues and our needing a nap in the middle of the afternoon issues and our sore joints and the reason that we can't exercise very much anymore and all of that stuff. So we got to go to the root cause, right? In order to get real weight loss, we need to cut the weight that really matters. And that is by going to the cause of the behavior that leads to the consumption that equals weight gain. Makes sense? Did you go with me there? All right, number 6, real weight loss list, willpower. You can have all the willpower in the world, but it fails almost all of us because we haven't done the deeper work, right? Willpower lasts and is really useful in situations where you're at the gym and you need to push through maybe 2 more reps or another set, or you've got just a little bit of work to go at the end of the day and you're like, all right, I'm going to grit my teeth and I'm going to do it. But the situations that willpower works in are short-lived, right? The set at the gym is only going to last a couple of minutes. The extra bit of work might last a few minutes, maybe an hour, right? And so when willpower is short-lived, it can be really effective, okay? And there's ways to use this in a way that is effective consistently. But most people try and use willpower or the idea of being strong enough to be able to navigate the rest of their lives. Imagine trying to achieve anything by thinking that I need to be holding my teeth and tight,
using grit
forever. When people go on a diet and they think they need to use more willpower, they say, I just need to be stronger. You're literally saying, I need to be stronger forever. And have you ever been in a state of strength for more than what, a day, a week? The answer is no, right? We have our weak moments. We have our tired moments. You know, we have our vulnerability moments. We have all these moments which are not about strength and are not about determination and fighting the good fight. And in those moments, we can be overwhelmed by all of the appealing alternatives that are not in our best interest and are not in our best favor, right? And so willpower often, for most of the people we work with, does not survive the appeal of things like sugar and Netflix and stress-inducing, toxin-inducing, obesity-inducing things that we put into our body or onto our body in moments of vulnerability or despair or tiredness or stress. So the idea that willpower is a useful tool forever, because once you're on a new diet and one of those hardcore fad diets, it's all about this is how you're going to eat forever. And it doesn't factor in that you're going to feel emotions. You're going to feel heavy. You're going to have sad memories. You're going to have traumas. Traumas happen in the future and in the past, right? We need a skill set, a psychology, and an emotional body that is able to navigate these and still make good choices the vast majority of the time. Because if we carry this idea that we don't use enough willpower and we're not strong enough, then this is something else that we're adding to the weight of our mind, the burden in our imaginary backpack that's holding us down, that's weighing us down, that's making us all fail repeatedly. Because yet another thing that we suck at, yet another thing that I don't have or I'm not capable of, right? More of these stories. So I want you to break up with this idea that real weight loss will be achieved if you just have more willpower, because it's not going to work. And you know how I know? Because you already know. How many examples of that do you already have in your life? We've got to do the deep inner work, right? And number seven is the emotional baggage, and something I call food bonded trauma. In order to achieve real weight loss, we need to deal with our emotional baggage and the food bonded trauma that we have developed over the course of our life as a tool of nourishment, healing, or escapism. And yes, it can be confronting. Yes, it requires a bit of courage. And this might be where I lose a lot of people that aren't ready to do the real work. A lot of people say, oh, that sounds way too hard. And business coaches and marketing experts that I've worked with have been like, Maddie, you shouldn't talk about this publicly because it scares too many of your possible clients away. But something that goes along with real weight loss is me being real with you, right? I'm being real about how this works, about the reality of life, about the reality of our mind, our body, our heart, of trauma, of living in the Western world, of marketing, of advertising. I'm going to be real with you. It's one thing that I can guarantee every client that's ever worked with me will agree with, is that I'm very real and honest. I'm not dogmatic about diets. I'm not attached to particular ideas. I'm going to find the truth, and the truth might be a little different for everybody, but I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to be truthful about it, right? And so relieving yourself or healing yourself of your own emotional baggage, which doesn't mean it's going to go away forever, but we might reduce its size, reduce its power, reduce the overwhelm you experience when you have memories or thoughts or feelings. You're going to be able to navigate or heal this food bonded trauma, this relationship with food that you've developed over life, where you go to chocolate or ice cream or wine or cheese as the way that you cope with all of your thoughts and emotions. In the beginning, it usually starts with just like, oh, you know, I was 17 and I broke up with my boyfriend and I had ice cream. And then you get a bit older and a few more life situations happen. And then it's like, oh, now I go to ice cream when I lose my job or I have a hard day or I break up with a boyfriend or I'm a bit tired. And then by the time you get to like 30, 40, 50, 60 years of age, you've been able to put so many different stresses, traumas, problems, memories into eating a small group of foods that that's the way that you deal with everything, and which is why you're in the situation where you want to have weight loss, right? So this food bonded trauma idea is this concept that I came up with where our trauma, pain, suffering, limitations, you know, all of that kind of stuff has been attached or bonded to a particular food or food group or food type, most often sugar/fast food, although there's plenty of savory things that we can do. And some people even very comfortably overeat and binge eat a lot of healthy stuff. But it's all driven by not going to the root cause, which is healing your emotional baggage, healing the pain and suffering within you that drives the seeking behavior, the pleasure-seeking behavior, which could otherwise be termed as escapeful behavior or escaping behavior, right? Which is when we seek these foods, it takes us to another place. We use it as a drug to escape, the same way that people, you know, did awful things or have awful lives and they do heroin or they're alcoholics. They want to escape their reality because reality is too painful to live in. And we do the same when we alter our blood sugar and our hormones by injecting sugar and glucose into our veins by way of eating and drinking foods that are not good for us. Again, when I say not good, it's not to judge the times that you do give yourself permission. We talk about permission in our programs. There's a very particular way to go about permission so you don't have to pay a consequence later emotionally and physically. It's a whole conversation. But generally speaking, most people listening are putting these foods in under the guise of permission. And permission usually sounds like, oh, just YOLO, you know, treat yourself, all that kind of stuff. But then a few hours later, they feel gross or they hate themselves for the choice they just made. So permission aside, we want to figure out the deep emotional work, healing that needs to be done in order to be able to alleviate these bonds between food and trauma. You know, we want to be able to free you from that space. Maybe not entirely, but if we manage to get 70 or 80% free, then you're in control most of the time. And that means most of the time, these situations that lead to weight gain pop up, you're going to be able to make decisions that actually help maintain your healthy body, or depending where you are on your journey, continue to guide you over time to real weight loss. And I say over time because it takes time. The faster you lose weight, the faster you'll gain it back. So we want to do it slowly over time, right? By focusing on real weight loss. The seven items that I've just covered include nutrition, negative stories, the one diet away belief, unnecessary stress, your relationship with sugar as a soothing agent, the illusion of willpower as the only tool that you'll need, and number seven, emotional baggage and healing your food-bonded trauma. And the way that we go about this in our programs is through a very simple three-step process. And if this resonates with you and you want to achieve real weight loss, then the link is in the show notes below to start a conversation with me, my team. And if you're ready to invest and take this seriously for a long period of time, then you're probably in the right spot to be able to look into this. So the three steps that we take people through are one, head and heart healing. So this is about doing the deep inner work, and it's supported and it's nurtured, and you're never far away from the tools and resources and people that you need to be able to get you through that. So as confronting or overwhelming or as intense as that might sound, this is one, what you need to do, and two, all the support you need is just a few messages away. Step two is progressive and adaptive nutrition. You might be like, Maddie, what is that? It's basically the idea that you're able to change your nutritional requirements over time and adapt your nutrition to the situation that you're in. We're not dogmatic about nutrition. It's not like you have to be this or have to be that, although vegans, be warned that there's a lot of protein, animal protein recommendations. So if you're vegan, probably not ideal for you. Vegetarians, all good, and everybody beyond that. So progressive and adaptive nutrition is the reality that you are in a life and a body that means that it's going to change and situations are going to change and you might need to change over time. So we factor that in. But this will help your gut health, massively important in regards to emotional binge and overeating. It's going to help your brain function, really, really important as well. Also, of course, your blood sugar management, which is crucial to be able to reverse any insulin resistance issues, some possible type 2 diabetes stuff, and also lose weight, burn body fat. We need to be able to manage our blood sugar successfully to be able to effectively do that. And step three is the community-supported accountability. So I'm there, my team is there, we're there to support you along the way, answer any questions at least 5 days a week. I'm there Monday to Friday. Everybody else is there, you know, all of the time. And amongst this community of like-minded individuals that understand what you're going through, a lot of wisdom is shared because other people can relate to your journey. They can share ideas that we all never thought of, including me, right? And it's a beautiful community of people that are willing to do the work. It's not a kumbaya group, and it's also not a David Goggins, just be tougher, you know, just do the work group. It's nurturing, it's healing, it's supportive. And we have hundreds of testimonials which confirm this. You can find those on websites, on social media. You can find them all over the place on different pages. And as part of the questionnaire and survey that we sent out to our clients, you know, we had 97% of people said that they would be happy to recommend us to a family member or friend, which is a result I'm really, really proud of. So if this is the year that you're going to break up with the idea of fad dieting or yo-yo dieting, and you never want to do that stuff ever again, and you're like, it's time to do the real work. I want to get real weight loss. I want to be able to cut this off. I want to be able to get rid of the mental, psychological battle that goes on in my head all the time around food and just stop talking shit to myself. I want to be in a body that feels comfortable, that I love, that I'm proud of, that I, you know, comfortably put on my favorite dress or my favorite suit or whatever it is, you know. If now is the time, then I invite you to scroll down to the show notes or the caption below, click the link, book in a time with myself or my team. If you're ready to invest in yourself and your life and your health and save thousands and thousands of dollars for all of the shit that might happen if you don't fix this problem, then please scroll down, click the link, book in a time, have a conversation with us, and let's figure out a way to get you down this path and on this journey so that we can help you achieve real weight loss in the way that you want, in a way that's healing and nurturing and supportive. And if you know anybody that you think would benefit from hearing this or doing things differently, then I'd please ask you and invite you to share this podcast episode with them, share it in your social media stories, take a screenshot of your phone listening to this and put it up in your social media stories, tag me. I'm out there on the socials. All of our social links are down below, either Maddie Lansdowne, the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast, or The Real Weight Loss Coach. That's me. So find me on social media. Links, again, all in the show notes below. But most importantly is that if you feel that you resonate with this idea and you want to explore it and you're ready to go and you want to be like, oh, I'm ready to take myself seriously for a change, scroll to the show notes, book a time, let's have a conversation. And other than that, I will see you on the next episode. Bye. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast. Simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember too that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.